This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, June 25th, 2023, the third Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
That which you hear, preach you upon the housetops. May the words of my mouth and meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Very explicit from our Lord. That's what you hear, preach upon the housetops. And what does he say? What do we hear? Fear him that can destroy both body and soul in hell. Wow. I don't like to talk about that too much, particularly in this day and age, but we should, because that's why we're here. We have to appreciate the fact that at the end of the day, the reason we are here is to avoid hell. That's the bottom line, to avoid hell. You know, you'd ask somebody, why do you go to church? Be like a two-year-old. Why do you go to church? To worship Jesus. Why? Because he came and died for our sins. Why? Because if he didn't, you would what? Go to hell. This is the reality of our faith. That's why we're here. It's not palatable in a lot of places in our day and age to speak about it. I actually did this yesterday just for grins as I was preparing this. I actually Googled, why no preaching about hell? I just Googled that. You wouldn't believe how many times I saw the word unpopular. Wow. Yeah, you know, hearing consequences of your actions are unpopular. Pretty good, it was like that consequence. We can't lose sight of those consequences. We look at our Lord's preaching. I get up here a lot and speak of this kind of stuff. You know, interject it here, interject it here. I mean, this is what the gospel's about today. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, preach this from the housetops. Fear him who can kill the body and destroy the soul in hell. Wow, Jesus, lighten up. It's Sunday. That's how we look at the guy. Like I said, and I throw stuff out a lot. And you look at, a bishop up in New Jersey. This is a quote from him. I think his name's Santarelli. I've never heard of him before, but this is great. He said, during his public ministry, Jesus spoke more about hell than anybody else in sacred scripture. His sayings on hell exceed all the other sayings of the Bible combined. I always throw out that Jesus spoke much more about hell than he spoke about hell more than everybody else in the Bible combined. And then he says, what you hear, proclaim it from the housetops. Okay, that's the marching orders, particularly for me. I got enough to answer for. I'm not going to get up there and ask for anything else. I'm going to do what he says. And it's unfortunate, you have to understand what's happened over the past 60 years. This whole subject, it's what I just say. Unpopular, obviously, that's what it said after I Googled. It's unpopular. Yeah, obviously it is. I guess St. Augustine knew what was coming because St. Augustine said, men are afraid of prison, yet they have no fear of hellfire. They fear temporal punishments, but dread not the torments of eternal fire. We don't even think about it. We don't like to think about it. And in some places, God forbid, if you speak of it, the people don't like to hear about things like that. I don't necessarily like you standing up here and talking about it because it's a scary thing. But it doesn't make it any less real. Over the past 6 years, huge things, liturgically adjusted. The Requiem Mass, traditionally, notice, a Requiem Mass, not the Mass of the Resurrection, that's called Easter, that Jesus is the one with the resurrection. It's not a Mass of the Resurrection. We're praying for the repose of a soul, the soul that's died. And everybody that gathers together to pray for the repose of a soul that has died should be confronted with, guess what? The four last things. Death, judgment, heaven, and hell. The four last things. In that Mass, there was a hymn It wasn't an option. During the funeral mass, you sing the Dies Irae. Say it, sing it. The Dies Irae. Sounds nice, Latin, right? It actually sounds nice if you listen to the hymn in Latin. But the title means Day of Wrath. That's the first two words of that. And usually you get, oh, Uncle Bob's got the beatific vision now. He never went to church a day in his life, but he's got the beatific vision because he died. That was the, like, that's like what gets you the beatific vision, to die. That's not the truth. The Dies Irae is a truth. It's a day of wrath. Because why? Because at the end of the day, we have to understand what death is. It's a consequence of original sin that everybody has to deal with, including our blessed Lord and the blessed Mother. So the Dies Irae is very, very apropos in a funeral mass. One theologian said this. I think she was happy that it was taken out. It's a terrifying hymn. It describes the tortures of the damned in great detail. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And you want to avoid it at all costs. We don't hear it anymore. Here, around here. But I mean, it's not even found in the books in most places anymore. We go to confession, the act of contrition. And before I go here, I know some people learned certain acts of contrition. They're burned in the memory after years and years, sometimes decades. So when you say certain acts of contrition, it's not sinful at all. But it's not the traditional presentation of the act of contrition. The traditional act of contrition, translated in English, I detest all my sins because I dread the loss of heaven and the pains of hell. That's what we say. Because I'm a sinner, I'm confessing my sins, I know what the consequences of them are, I pour this out to you. In a modern version, but at least in accord with the wording of the tradition, I detest all my sins because of thy just punishments. What's that? What are his just punishments? You could get a stomach ache or, lose $20 out of your wallet or something. That could be his just punishment, whatever you think it might be. It leaves it all open-ended. If you know the just punishments are the loss of heaven and the pains of hell, it's fine. It's absolutely fine, as long as you know that. But one thing that I hear very frequently is, in choosing to do wrong and failing to do good, I have sinned against you, whom I should love above all things. There's no mention of consequence. There's no mention of consequence. There's no mention of why are we in here, with the gravity of sin. This is what our Lord wants us to know. Because why? Because he doesn't want us to wind up there. Okay? He does everything that he can, like sending his only begotten son to die, that we have the opportunity, if we embrace what his son did, to live a life that is commensurate with the faith that we say that we have and avoid hell. This is just the reality of what goes on liturgically. But I mean, even catechetically. It's written what the bishop said about how much Jesus preached about hell. Most catechisms, when you say the catechism, what do you mean? The Baltimore Catechism, Catechism Council of Trent, Pius X Catechism, what catechism do you mean? Most people, when they say that, they mean the newest one. All those other catechisms, Baltimore Catechism, Council of Trent, you read a whole lot about hell. You're catechized. Hey, you pray this way to avoid hell. You receive these sacraments to avoid hell. It emphasizes that. In the new catechism, most of the older catechisms are like a couple hundred pages. The big ones are like 250, 300 maybe. In the new catechism, there's 700 pages. 700. That's why I don't really suggest that one to people that are like investigating and say, here, go read this tome. Go read this 700-page book. 700 pages. Five paragraphs. Deal with hell. Five paragraphs out of 700 pages. That's not screaming it from the housetops. This is what we do. We don't like to hear, if you hear about it and if you're afraid of it, when people come to the office, and I mean, sometimes they're bawling. I'm so afraid to go to hell. I'm like, excellent. Me too. Me too. Excellent. I'm afraid of going to hell. Why? Because I appreciate things like the saints say, like St. John Chrysostom. He who continually fears hell will never fall into it. If you're scared of it, you'll do everything you can to avoid it. This is us, our human nature. You don't like bad things. If you ever hear about things, there's nothing to avoid. We need to avoid it. He who continually fears hell will never fall into it, but he who is negligent will undoubtedly fall. We can't be negligent about this. It's part and parcel of our faith. It is our faith. It is our faith. The avoidance of hell. Bottom line, very simple. So, you know, when you look at this world, you look at what goes on in it. I mean, we get a little dose. I mean, after the fall, why would God do that after the fall? And Adam and Eve did that because he wanted to make a point. He wanted to make a point of what happens when you don't do what's in conformity with his will. He wanted to make that point. Well, why do I have to learn the lesson? Because you're corrupted by original sin. Well, you like it or not. I mean, that's how things work. It's like genetics. I didn't want to have blonde hair. Well, your mom and dad have blonde hair. You're going to have blonde hair, okay? That's all there is to it, whether you like it or not. It's genetics. This is like spiritual genetics. Our mom and dad back in the day messed up bad, messed everything up. Now we're messed up, and we got to fix it. We can't. Jesus did. But one of the things that he does to make us appreciate what it's like not is to have us live in this world and have to deal with what we deal with. The heartaches, bad stuff happens, stuff that makes you cry, losing loved ones, all this kind of stuff. My grandfather came back from World War II. He landed on Okinawa first day of the invasion, and he was there until it was over. He was wounded twice. That wasn't back in the day. Put him on a helicopter and sent him back to the hospital. They wound his arm. He got grenade shrapnel in one arm, and he got bayoneted in the other. And they wrapped it up and said, okay, go back up there. And he came home. He had completely lost faith. Completely. And somebody asked about it. He said, there cannot be a God if I saw what I saw. It's so easy to respond to that. It's like, Pap, you saw what you saw when men do what they want, and God's not in the picture. When God's not in the picture, that kind of horror happens. God's given us a heads up. You don't want to live for all eternity without me, because that's nothing compared to hell. Okay? I mean, this ain't it. Whatever hell is. For one thing, we got to understand, don't fall into the fanciful caricatures, like the pictures, like the guy in the red pajamas who pokes you with a pitchfork when you get down there and you cry. You know, everybody's got a sad face, everything. The sorrows of hell are unknown to us. We cannot fathom the sorrows of hell. You got a lot of people in our day and age who like the theological tap dancing around it. Well, it's not a place, it's a state. It's a state of being. There's all kind of theological debate you can have on that whole thing, but I'm a simple guy, and I like to appeal to what our Lord says. For instance, when our Lord, he talks about a demoniac, he says, you know, the demons leave him, and he basically, in a nutshell, he doesn't square himself away, and even more demons come into this clean house, and Jesus says these words. His state is worse than it was. State is variable. His state at one time was possessed, that his state was clean, and that his state was worse than it was. State changes. We don't look at hell as a state. Because like I said, if Jesus wanted to present it like that, he used the word state, so why did he say it? You know, you want to go to hell because it's a state where this or that. No, he talks about it like a place, like the gospel today. Fear him who can destroy your body and soul in hell. Not that you'll be in a state where you feel like your body's being destroyed. No, he said the place. Actually, in the original versions, back in the Greek days, it doesn't say hell. It says Gehenna. Our Lord spoke Aramaic. Gehenna is a place right outside the city, and it's actually the Valley of Hinnom. And the Valley of Hinnom was a place where grotesque religious practices had been going on for years and years and years, and King Josiah put a stop to it. But it had been so horrible that he said, we're going to use that place as a dump. They worship their idols there. They sacrifice kids. We're going to use it as a dump. And it was always, It was constantly on fire, constantly burning. The fires never died down there. So our Lord uses that as a connotation for eternal punishment. It's not, you know, our Lord's not saying you're going to be thrown into a trash dump, but the trash dump was a place. Hell is a place where it's unfathomable. We can't get it. I think the thing that describes hell best is when St. Paul talks about heaven. St. Paul, who got to see heaven before he died, St. Paul, he said, "I hath not seen, nor have ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of a man what things God hath prepared for them that love him." You can think how glorious heaven is and seeing your parents and your kids and your relatives and your friends and some people want to see their dogs, all these visions. That would make me so happy to see Muffy. Okay, if that's where you are, appreciating heaven, it's probably not going to take much to amuse you when you get up there and you're in the presence of the Blessed Mother and all the archangels and the saints and all that stuff like that. You know, so you got the bar set low. You're going to really be impressed when you get there, because the heart cannot conceive of the glories that have been prepared for those that love him. Every time you read something like that in Scripture, you got to invert it. What is that? The same description, because we can't fathom how great this is. "I have not seen nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of a man what things God hath prepared for them that hate him." The same exact words would apply. Man, I came to church this morning to be happy, and man, bummer today. Anyway, you look at something like this, this is a terrible threat from the lips of the Savior, from the lips of the one who is charity personified, this terrible threat about it. It's a terrible threat to those who are not moved by the promises of the gospel. And if people go, "I don't want to read that part about this, destroy your body and soul in hell. I don't read that part of it." Why not? Because three times in that little gospel passage, three times our Lord says, "Fear not. Fear not." He's talking about people who live their faith. Fear not. Putting our trust in his advocacy. Oh, and think people do things in this world. Maybe you're not happy about it. Maybe you pray some imprecatory prayers or something like that. That's all well and good. But at the end of the day, you got to understand that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. It is going to be so much more horrible than anything you can conceive of. Your heart can't conceive of what will happen if the person doesn't repent. You should be praying for his repentance, because this is what Jesus is talking about, his mercy. You embrace his mercy, everything's great. To get up here and talk about hell and just have left it at that and walked away, that's imbalance. That's not what this is all about. Yeah, we should be afraid of hell. I mean, we say it in every Mass, in the canon of the Mass, from eternal damnation, we ask him, we bid him that he keep us from eternal damnation. We don't presume on things. We know that we've got part to play in this. We know we got to square ourselves away. You know, we put our trust in his advocacy. I mean, we got, you know, the divine mercy image. Jesus, I trust in you. Like I said, you can't get yourself out of hell. You can't keep yourself out of hell. He can. And all the graces, we just need to cooperate with them. So, you know, with this public confession of our faith, and when I say public confession, I don't mean handing out pamphlets and knocking on people's doors and things like that. Although, that's good. You want to do that? But it does mean talking to your family members, talking to your friends. It means living your life. It doesn't mean so much talk as it does word. That's a proper public confession of your faith. And that is absolutely indispensable condition of your eternal salvation. And you know, that's why a lot of people, like St. Augustine said, about, you know, they don't take it serious. You know, I've had people look me dead in the face more times than I can count. Oh, I guess I'm just going to hell then. If they had any idea of what they say, it should just crush you, because it shows how truly faithless that person is. Why? Because they haven't heard this, most of them. They don't hear things like this. Or even if they do read it, they don't go, "No, I don't want to hear that part about it. You know, I want to hear about the fear not and grace and mercy part." Grace and mercy keeps you out of hell. That's just a reality of things. We need to look at that. So we're not intimidated by things in this world, no matter how bad they get. No matter how bad they're getting, whatever context, the world, the church, whatever, both, we're not intimidated by that stuff. Our Lord tells us, Don't fear that nonsense. Fear the one who can do what he can do. And why do we do that? Because if we fear it, we're on notice, and we're not near as apt to fall into things like that. So we've got to do that. But we have to also understand that we never fail to proclaim, as our Lord says, scream it from the housetops. In the name of the Father, and Son, and of the Holy Ghost.